Mini episode 218 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge. Mini episode number 218. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking down NFL week 13 for you. Last week, we had a decent week for me in the end. I started out missing the first five games, including the three on Thanksgiving. Ended up 7-9 for the week, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1, unfortunately, on my lock pick, leaving me for the year 88-85-3, 18-17-1 on the big three, 7-5 on the lock picks, 58% for the season. Kyle, continuing a sterling year, notwithstanding a 1-2 last week, 28-18-1 at 61%, now surpassing me for the season with his benchmark picks versus my lock of the week. So Kyle has actually surged ahead of me on that metric. And again, the aforementioned Kyle Ross, we are doing this week as a phoner because our usual mission control for when he and I are both in town is his condo. It's generally where we get together. That is, I guess, being painted right now. So hopefully if all is going well with that. We bring in Kyle now at this time. How is it going, my friend?
You know, next time you come over, Ricky, totally different looking place. We're looking good here. They wrapped up, kicked them out. I'm ready to go and break down week number 13, at least I think I am. I know I've said this before, at least once or twice throughout the year when we've been doing these. This, though, I'm pretty sure is my least favorite card of the year. I'm scratching my head at this one, buddy. I'm struggling to give you one pick that I like this week, to be honest with you. You're going to wonder, I think, at the end of this 45 minutes, just why in the heck you brought me on this week, because, I mean, I got nothing for you this week. You know, you mentioned we've kind of been, just breaking even mostly, a lot of twos and ones, ones and ones, twos and twos the last couple weeks. We did have, I had a losing week last week. Thank you to your San Diego Chargers, who I will be crucifying later when we get to that game.
Okay, well, I guess you're going to be on the side of most of the public mouth breathers in that one, game.
I'm not necessarily saying I'm going against them or anything, Robbie. I'm doing that. I'm out of spite. I'm just saying I'm just going to rip them for last week. That's all I'm doing. Trust me. I'm basically going to give you a reason why not to bet any side this week throughout the week. So this might be a week for those out in radio land, save some of their money for the upcoming Christmas holiday, because I'm telling you, man, this is a ugly and tough card.
I think so.
I always like to get to three, because I know you do three. As of about an hour ago, I was struggling to get three. If you told me what is your – there's usually always one pick I really, really like. Just one that just jumps out at me. As soon as the Lions come out on Sunday, there was nothing of the sort. Perhaps it was because some of the lines were late coming out. There's even some that you can hardly find a place to bet right now. But, I mean, there was nothing that struck my fancy on this card right away. I mean, I really had to struggle here.
Yeah, it's a brutal one. Breaking with tradition, as we've done a couple times this year, one of the big three ones we're going to get out of the way right now. And, of course, again, the irony is it's too late for anybody listening to this now. But that's why you want to check Twitter every week if I have a pick for Thursday night. One of my big three picks for this week, Atlanta laying 3.5 at home against New Orleans in a card where, again, I like you, really, really struggle to find a lot of picks that I like. I'm going to go on this one for the Falcons. They're overdue, certainly, to get revenge for the last couple of years, the way that the Saints have dominated them. What I find to be very interesting is that the Saints are not a team, notwithstanding what happened the first time around. They're not a team best targeted to exploit the Falcons' weaknesses at this point in time here. They only average 26.59 as far as possession goes, and the Falcons have been a team where you want to try and run the ball on them. They give up 123.2 yards per game rushing. The Saints, however, can be run on at 156.5 yards per game. That could be what the Falcons' running game needs to get itself healthy. I think the Falcons, in front of a rousing home crowd Thursday night, get their revenge on the Saints and take out many years' worth of frustration. That's one of my big three picks, laying the 3.5.
Again, force me to make one. I would probably side with you here. The hook scares me, certainly, because Atlanta, I mean, this is a team that has been living dangerously all year long. I mean, particularly at home, you know. I mean, this is a team that, like the Saints, you know, is thought to be much stronger at home, Ricky. But when you look at the results this year, it really hasn't been the case. I mean, going back, you know, they've won by 6, 2, 3, 6, and 4 in their 5 home games so far. So not a lot of margin for error there. But the revenge angle certainly is tempting. I mean, they lost to New Orleans now 4 straight times. New Orleans let me down last week with a loss that I think ultimately is going to sink their playoff hopes, falling at home to San Francisco. Keep in mind, 2 pick sixes in that game. So as much as we all want to start bowing at the altar of Colin Kaepernick already, you know, the Saints gave that game away largely from where I sat. You know, so slight check mark to Atlanta, but this is not going to be one of my recommended 3 this week. Slight check mark.
Okay.
I just think the revenge and, you know, road teams have generally stunk on these Thursday games. At least it's a good matchup for the first time in a while. I mean, I know you bask in the glory of ESPN getting hosed every Monday, but certainly those in the scheduling department haven't done the NFL Network any favors this year. I mean, there have been some real dog babies on Thursday.
Yeah, they have been really, really getting it stuck to them, but this is an excellent Thursday night matchup. On to the Sunday games, starting with a really, really good one. The 6-5 Seahawks at the 8-3 Bears. Chicago is laying 4 in this one, down from 4.5 earlier in the week. This was a borderline one for me, as much as I struggle to find 3 picks here. This is one where, again, I really like the Bears in this one. The Seahawks, again, there's been a real differential between them. They only have 1 road win thus far this season, which is striking for a team that's, in all likelihood at this point, still going to make the playoffs in the NFC. They're just a different team on the road. They've looked very good at home the last couple of weeks. They did have that difficult, of course, loss at Miami since the 2 big wins against Minnesota and the Jets. Again, I just think this is an opportunity for the Bears to get healthy. The Bears have 3 losses, but they only lose to the cream of the crop, seemingly, in the NFL here between San Francisco, Houston, and Green Bay. And I think that, again, they're going to get healthy in this one here, continue to after they did the Minnesota game. They're going to continue their road back from that San Francisco game, I think. I like them laying the 4.
This made my recommended 3. I'm going with the Bears. But before I go into, you know, some of the stuff with home road dichotomy in Seattle and the Bears, tell me your top 5 in the NFC. Rank your top 5 teams in the NFC. I assume they would have to be the combination of Giants, Falcons, Packers, Bears, Niners. Who's the best team in that group?
In the NFC?
From where you
okay.
Sit. Yeah.
All
from
right.
You sit.
From,
who's from, the best team in the NFC, you think, right now?
From where I sit, I'm still I'm looking at my rankings. I've got Atlanta as the top NFC team right
wow.
now, and then San Francisco, the Giants, Chicago, Green Bay. There's my 5 in that order.
You know, I think it's San Francisco that's number 1, and it'd be Atlanta, you know, we just talked about them, and then the Giants, I kind of give a slight nod to at number 2. The Bears, I picked them to win or the NFC before the year, but I'm getting, and though you made a great point that the only teams that they've lost to are really good, it's somewhat troubling come playoff time because they're only going to face really good teams. Now, Seattle is going to be – I'm with you. I still think Seattle makes the playoffs. I'm going to tell you why. The loss here would drop them to 6-6, be their 2nd in a row. You mentioned the overtime loss to Miami last week. I watched a great deal of that game. I can't believe they lost it, Ricky. They seemed in complete control throughout. They even got a kick return after Miami had tied the game up 21-14, but, you know, that defense, which, you know, has its own issues now with, you know, potentially both starting cornerbacks facing four-game suspensions. So, you know, take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. I think they're going to finish strong because this is actually their last true road game. The only other time they're not going to be playing at home the rest of the year after this week will be a trip north of the border against Buffalo and Toronto. But other than that, it's all home games. So they should almost win out. They'll probably, I mean, they do play San Francisco and Seattle, but, you know, I kind of like the Seahawks' chances in that game hosting San Francisco. But here, Chicago makes my recommended three. I've said it all year long. With Seattle, it's as simple as fade them on the road, take them at home. They proved it again last week with a loss. They only have the one road win you mentioned. They have not lost at home. The Bears are, while I be really beginning to question how they're going to perform against the other playoff teams, I do think they're significantly better than Seattle, particularly at Soldier Field. So the Bears get a recommended pick for me this week.
All right, so we agree on that one. Next up is 6-5 Minnesota at 7-4 Green Bay. The Pack is laying 8 in this game. It started out 9.5 earlier in the week, so you see the way that the money is going. Notwithstanding that, in looking at it and the fact that I've been bagging on Minnesota a good part of the year and calling them overrated and calling for them to regress to the mean, which they will and which I think they will in this game, I don't give them much, if any, chance to win. But 8, I still think they got a chance to backdoor this one here. What would be smart for them, what I think they'll be able to do, the way that Adrian Peterson has bounced back from his injury and really had a hell of a year. Green Bay's not horrible against the run. But you know, they're mediocre. They're middle of the pack against the run. I look for the Vikings to try to use Peterson to chew up the clock, disrupt the rhythm of the Packer passing game here, and sneak in the back door, getting the 8 points. That's my pick.
Too many injuries for Green Bay. I think I'm with you. This is not, you know, what, this didn't make my big three, but I'll give a slight check mark to Minnesota with the points here. I don't know about, you know, everyone, you know, kind of assumes Green Bay is so great, but, you know, before last week when they were, you know, you and I believe, by the way, whenever you and I agree on a big three pick, I think they do quite well. I can't remember if we're 2-0 or 2-1. It doesn't happen often when we agree, but I know we both were big on the Giants last Sunday night. They came on the bye and just thumped Green Bay. Green Bay's been thumped. Now, that's I'm concerned about them, too. That is Chicago. Offensive line issues galore. And, you know, Green Bay's been thumped now by San Fran and the Giants. But, you know, I'm with you. I'm not a huge believer in the Vikings at all. You know, obviously Aaron Rodgers or Christian Ponder, quarterback, a huge advantage for the home team. Green Bay's going to win this game, but, you know, laying more than a score, not interested there.
No, I certainly concur with that. Next up here. A rematch of the tie game. It is San Francisco 8-2-1 at St. Louis 4-6-1. This is a line where the Niners are laying 7.5, had been 9 earlier in the week. The public is seems to be very heavy, from what I can tell, on San Francisco, sort of treating this as a revenge type of situation. They had that win taken from them a couple weeks ago. Notwithstanding all of that, again, I like St. Louis to come in the back door. I think they proved last time that they can play San Francisco tough. It's going to be at home, and I just think, again, there have been some instances this season where San Francisco has gotten in some of those tough, gritty, field goal-type battles with teams. The one that comes to mind is that primetime game against Seattle. It was 13-6. They've been prone to those the last couple of years. I just see this being one sort of like that, maybe a 16-10 type game, but with St. Louis sneaking in the back door.
You know, the Rams have fared well in division play under Jeff Fisher. 4-0 against the spread,
yes.
3-0-1 straight up. They swept Arizona. They beat Seattle in St. Louis. We referenced Seattle's road woes earlier, and then, as you just mentioned, so eloquently tied the 49ers a couple weeks ago. You know, Sam, it's one of those things in the NFL, you know, I've preached it all year, that teams kind of reach, you know, a peak. You know, everyone loves San Francisco. I just mentioned I kind of happen to think they're the best team in the NFC right now. You know, everyone's all over the Kaepernick bandwagon. Niners will win here, but again, you know me, Ricky. I mean, I'll always take the home dog in a situation like this. not a recommended three, but, you know, in principle, a small check mark next to the Rams. So I would agree with you. Yeah.
All right, nothing we're really disagreeing on yet.
Yeah, that's one.
Well, this next one's pretty tricky. I really struggled to get my head around this one. A battle of decrepit 4-7 teams, the 4-7 Cardinals, a team that's lost seven in a row, against the Jets at 4-7, this game at MetLife Stadium. Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely tanned Laura Oakman on the call for this one. And this
our
one again,
our first announcer breakdown of the day, of the week. You've been slacking so far.
I'll try to work more of those in. Again, this is one where I really, really just struggled going back and forth on this one. It does seem as though, and ultimately this is what proved decisive in my mind, seems like the Cardinals are getting a little bit more healthy. Beanie Wells coming back really has helped out. An offense that has just been absolutely, absolutely despicable the last several weeks here. I see it being a battle where both teams, because of their passing woes, really try to pound it. I think Green and Wells are going to be getting the rock an awful lot in this one. Arizona, I think, can cover the 4.5. It's a line that's up from 3 earlier in the week. I think Arizona can cover, may win this one outright, which would really just take the Jets' woes to another level. Now, again, the Jets have been really up and down in the course of that 4-7, so it wouldn't shock you if they came back and won even after that disaster against New England. But having said that, I do like Arizona getting the 4.5 here.
It was a disaster against New England, wasn't it? I mean, I remember I came on and I said, hey, you know, you get a little bored of family, bet the under on this one. Well, I drove home from my family's on Thanksgiving, got home, threw the NFL Network on. It was 0-0. And at the end of the first quarter, I was like, oh, this is great, okay? You know, the total was, you know, hovering, you know, in the high 40s. I was feeling pretty good about myself. About 49, I think I got it at. I was like, oh, this is great. And then that 2 minutes happened, Ricky. And if anyone who watched that game knows what I'm talking about, where the Jets, just a comedy of errors, hitting a new low in a season full of them. This is a really bad team. I mean, some teams worse than the Jets. I mean, it's going to be the usual suspects. I mean, there's about 5 or 6, but not many more than that.
No.
This is how bad this week is. Arizona makes my big 3 plus the points. I'm with you. The only reason that I'm going with here is, you know, the Cardinals really shocked me. They were 4-0, and they made me look bad because I ragged on them pretty hard in our NFC West preview. They were my pick for last place. I said they'd win like 5 or 6 games all year. I ripped the quarterback situation. I made fun of your boy Ken Wisenhunt, and I looked like a fool after 4 weeks. But they haven't won since week 4. Don't they have to win? Again, I mean, are they just going to lose out? I have to see them winning a game sooner or later. Jets is a favorite, not interested at all. I'm with you. Arizona could win this one outright, and it could just get real ugly for the Jets.
Oh, it really would if that were the case.
This is a recommended, yes. So this is my 2nd of 3 recommended plays. Arizona
second,
plus the 4.5.
2nd of 3, okay. And that's the thing, too. The Jets, what they have a lot in common with when you're talking about those El Succo teams at the bottom, I used the phrase last week, collection of talent instead of a team. That's really what the Jets and the Eagles are right now, both a couple of overhyped clubs.
Well, you know, I'd actually give – well, it's a different situation. Andy Reid, you could conceivably give him a pass for personal reasons. Ryan, though, doesn't have nearly the talent to work with. I mean, you and I have talked about it. I mean, everyone – crushes Sanchez when the Jets look bad, but they don't have – team is so good players. And I mean, he was horrible. I mean, that one way he fumbled when he ran in. I mean, that was just embarrassing. That was just
embarrassing. Well, injuries have taken their toll.
But, I mean, you look, we talk about the boom or bust potential, and they have been up and down. I mean, remember, they hammered the Colts a couple weeks back that, you know, people thought they were getting back on track. But really, since then, they've done nothing. I mean,
right.
At all. They've done nothing. So they did beat St. Louis on the road, but I don't know. Another NFC West team, so, and you know, St. Louis swept Arizona, but still, I said, just do factor for Arizona here.
This next game is pretty fugly also as far as the two teams involved. A couple real bad teams. Carolina is at Kansas City. The Panthers are laying 3. Something that I found here, courtesy of USA Today Sports Weekly this week, I've never seen two bizarro twin defenses like this. Carolina, total yards given up, 1388. Kansas City, 1387. Passing yards given up, Carolina, 2430. Kansas City, 2419. They're within 12 total yards of one another, passing and rushing. None of those numbers good, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, that was just really, really strange. It caught my eye. This is a Why Ask Why special for me. As best as I can tell, seems like the sharps are going on Kansas City this week. I cannot possibly fathom why that would be. This is only my second Why Ask Why pick of the year. I made one earlier when the sharps were on Carolina, ironically against Washington. And I went with it, going against Carolina for the same reason here. Kansas City getting the 3 at home is my pick.
Yeah, I would imagine the sharps are going to be in Kansas City here. I would really like to play Carolina, who is much better than their record indicates. You know, we talked about the Jets in the last thing. Carolina, to me, is like a fringe bottom 10 team. You know, they may not be one of the 10 worst, despite I know they were 2-8 going into last week, but even then, I didn't view them as one of the 10 worst teams in the league. I mean, obviously they just beat a ravaged Philadelphia squad, but they're better than the Arizonas and the St. Louis's and the NFC. They beat Washington a couple weeks ago. You know, and there's certainly a multitude of AFC teams that I think they're better. Other than the Denver game, which got out of hand late, and then the Giants game, which they were never in on the NFL Network early in the year, all their losses are by 6 points or less. Kansas City can't score at all. And, I mean, Cam Newton over – who, by the way, Cam Newton, thank you very much for leading one of the most improbable Monday night comebacks in fantasy football history, delivering 46 points for my team as I clinch a playoff berth when I thought I was going to have to fight for my life in the last week. But, I mean, you look at Kansas City the last couple of weeks, 9-6. 13-13, 16-10, 6. The bottom line is there's one game all year. I can't even remember. Did they hold the lead in regulation last week against Denver? I can't remember if they got up to a field goal lead. Regardless, I mean, they're awful. Yeah, and here's the thing, too, and we'll talk more. You know, I'll save that for San Diego when I massacre them for what they did to me last week. But I'm staying away here because Carolina, I know they just covered as a road favorite. But asking them to do it 2 weeks in a row on a short week, too much. And the Chiefs, I gave up on them weeks ago, so no interest here.
Okay. This next one is really kind of odd, particularly when you look at the records. 7-4 Colts at the 4-7 Lions.
Yeah.
Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, the Hall of Fame team, calling this
announcer game. Alert. Announcer
alert.
Horrible. Dan Fouts, what game was I watching last week that he was announcing? He was really annoying.
It's all been downhill since he was in the water boy.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was the Baltimore-San Diego game. So, you know, my apologies to Dan Fouts. I was the one who was annoyed. It may have not been his fault there, actually.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And as a former Charger, he had every right to be disgusted. So, who knows? Maybe that was the disdain in his voice. But,
They're laying 4.5 here up from 3.5. This is a borderline Why Ask Why for me. I cannot fathom the lack of respect being given to the Colts in this one here. Although, as you and I have talked about all year, the vast gap between the NFC and the AFC, maybe the thought was that if the Colts were in the NFC and the Lions were in the AFC, perhaps the records would be juxtaposed. I don't know that anybody's giving that much thought to it. I'm going to go on Detroit, just because I find it curious that they're laying this many points to Indianapolis, even being at home. I'm going to go with Detroit laying the 4.5.
I wrestled with this game all week. Look, we've talked about this, Ricky. You know, you in particular marveled. I wasn't surprised that they open up. I mean, they're on the road, Indianapolis is. But I kind of, and I've been saying this now, I think about 3 or 4 weeks in a row on the program, Vegas does not like the Colts at all. They do not view them as a good team. They certainly view this team among potential playoff qualifiers as kind of the Denver of last year, the team that, okay, they're in the playoffs. You know, Vegas doesn't necessarily rank teams strictly based on record. As a matter of fact, you know, if you look at Vegas power rankings compared to, you know, something maybe like an ESPN, just for argument's sake, you can find vast differences. For point of mention, I've kind of given you an update each week. The Colts actually dropped last week, despite the win, and over Buffalo, they're now 22nd in the Vegas power rankings, despite the fact that they're 7-4 and very likely going to make the playoffs. I think that's a lot of disrespect. I think they're better than Vegas gives them credit for, although I did read an excellent piece by Bill Barnwell, you know, that made a case that the Colts are probably due for a butt-whooping when they do, if they do reach the playoffs in the wild card round. They'd probably play at Denver, New England, and that would not go well for them. I was tempted to take the points, but, you know, this is just going to end up being a pass for me because, look, how about your boy Jim Schwartz last week, who I've ripped on all year, and he's going to do well. People can tell me till they're blue in the face that that's a stupid rule, and it is a stupid rule. But this came to me as take, if I may give it a little aside here, Ricky, about coaching in the NFL, which I've been very critical of all year. I think roughly half the coaches in this league borderline stink. You know, there's some people, some insiders in the league that feel as many as 8 or 9 could be fired in the off season. That's, you know, almost a third of them. And an NFL coach's job is not to have his face buried in that stupid play calling sheet. Look around the league at all the bad teams. Their coach, the Browns, who I know we'll get to in a little bit, who I know they won last week over Pittsburgh, or Garrett in Dallas, Reed in Philly. Do you ever notice some of these guys? Are they coaching, or are they just, you know, reading the book with the stupid play sheet in front of their face? They're Mike Tomlin, who I know you've been critical of at times, and, you know, it's probably not the week to hype his coaching after what happened last week. But have you ever seen him holding a play calling sheet in front of his face? Have you ever seen Bill Belichick staring at a play calling sheet in his face? It's about managing. It's about institutional control. Jim Schwartz has none of that. He stinks. I have said it all year. He is such a bad coach. So I can't make a case. The Colts, if they were to win here, they'd be 8-4 and really sitting pretty. I can't see that. They're probably going to lose, and it's probably going to be real close to the number. Detroit, I remember speaking of excellent articles I read. I don't know where I read this one. Detroit's not a team I have a lot of, you know. Remember, it was a year ago. I mean, granted, they had started slowly slide after the fast start. But people thought this was like this great team in the future. I am not a buyer on this team long term at all because they were really screwed by the restructuring of rookie contracts. They were the last team who kind of had to pay under the old system. And they're going to have three huge, you know, albatross contracts. I mean, Stafford, Sue, and Megatron are all great players, but I don't think they're going to, if they choose to keep all three of those guys, which they'd be nuts not to, they're not going to have a lot of money left over to get anybody else. And I'm not a buyer on this team at all. And the Colts, I'll say this, their 7-4 record is a little phony. I went back and looked. They've got a lot of close wins over teams that will not be in the postseason. That was a long soliloquy, basically, to say don't bet this.
No problem. Well, I have fallen woefully short on pacing this week. We're only about halfway through, so we got to go just bullet points the rest of the way. Buffalo laying 6 at home against Jacksonville. The way the Jags have been going the last couple weeks here, again, I think that may be a little bit much. I'm not at the point yet of giving any actual respect to Jacksonville, but I think they can cover the number at Buffalo.
You know, Buffalo thought they were going to be able to maybe get back on the wagon. They didn't last week. Uninspired performance. Ryan Fitzpatrick stinks. Chan Gailey, he might be fired. I always say when a bad team is laying this much points, take the other team who it is. It is Jacksonville, though, so I can't really get too involved. But, hey, my main man, Chad Henne, he's leading the revolution down there. Who knows? Who needs Tim Tebow when you got Chad Henne under center? Small check to the Jaguars, I guess.
He thinks they'll be playing over the PA system here this week, the tune Chad Henne is a bitch by the dead Schembeck horse. I look forward to hearing that.
You know what? Yeah, by the way, is Woody Hayes dead? Is he? I can't remember.
I had a lot of fun at the shoe on Saturday, but
I'm sure you did. By the way, my reply to your obvious answer was going to be good, just so you're aware.
I knew you'd have a good reply there.
Yeah.
New England is laying 9 at Miami. This is one where Gumbel and Dierdorf are the combo on this one. I was wrong on this last week. I thought the Jets could backdoor it. I really think Miami can. I'm going to go with Miami to backdoor this one.
Yeah, you know me. I would never lay 9 points with anybody, although New England, I think, might be the best team in the league.
They might be. So you sitting this one out?
Yeah, I'm sitting this one out. I mean, if you have to play, you have to go home dog from where I come from. I'll say this, though. You talk about Gumbel and Dierdorf, so if you have to listen to it, I think you need the good luck. You better find that mute button whenever Dan Dierdorf is on the mic. He's good grief. Good grief.
Nice.
Miami's fairly competitive, too. Ryan Tannehill's been better than I thought.
They looked pretty good last week against Seattle. 6-5, Tampa Bay at 8-3, Denver. Very shocking that CBS is sending the team of Dick Stockton, John Lynch, Jennifer Hale to this game. This was a priority game to me, not that Fox is treating it as such. But in looking at this one here, I really think, again, that Tampa has what it takes to cover that number. I think it's potentially going to be a shootout. And I do like Tampa Bay getting the 7.
Yeah, this is probably going to be a really high-scoring game. Here's the problem. I think both teams are overrated. So I'm sitting this one out. I think, you know, Denver's viewed, and I'll give them some credit. They might be a fringe top 5 team in the league. Tampa Bay is probably going to be the team that battles with Seattle for the final playoff spot. Ultimately, I think they're going to fall short. But I got to sit this one out because both of these teams seem to be better than what I thought they would be. And, you know, Tampa Bay surprises me more than Denver does. Denver, I mean, at least you can play with Peyton Manning. Tampa Bay, they fought tooth and nail with Atlanta last week, but on the road, I think, you know, Lady Luck may begin to leave their camp pretty soon.
Yeah, so what's your thing? Are you sitting this one out?
Yeah, this is a pad.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm telling you, you're gonna wonder why you had me on the program this week. This is a pad. I don't know.
Well,
I can't see Tampa Bay winning the game at all. So
the next two probably are from you as well, because you pretty much got to find outlaw lines on the next two if you're gonna find them. Basically, Baltimore, the line that I've found thus far, they're at home. They're playing Pittsburgh, laying 6.5. That's the best guess I've seen anywhere. Pittsburgh showed me on the hook a couple weeks ago. I would take Pittsburgh with the 6.5.
I'm assuming that's provided Roethlisberger plays for you, if Roethlisberger plays,
I think he will.
Okay, I don't know if I'm speaking to Dr. Morris here or not, but if Roethlisberger plays, I really like Pittsburgh. Baltimore is a fraudulent 9-2 team. I don't care what anybody says. I've said it for weeks. But, you know, you say 6.5. I saw 7 online. I believe Legends has been available for those of you shopping around online. But,
okay.
My lean would be to Pittsburgh. If you could tell me Roethlisberger is going to play, grab that line now. Because, I mean, most of these games are always decided by a field goal anyway. And with Roethlisberger, I think Pittsburgh could actually go into Baltimore and win.
That's very possible, and I do think he is going to play. The other game where it's been hard to find a line, Cleveland at Oakland. The outlaw line I found thus far is Raiders laying 3.5 in this one. Hard to believe that anything could possibly be
3.5. Where'd you find? Give me that line. I only found a 1.5 at BetOnline.
1.5. Okay.
One and a half was the only place online. Was the only line
I could find online. Rumor has it, I think, that Covers, you may have heard of them. I think they may have had it at 3.5. But
yeah. I've also heard of Leviathan too, by the way.
Very nice, Mr. Batista. I would take Oakland, whether it's 1.5, 3.5, whatever. I don't think too much of the Raiders, but I don't think the Browns can win in back-to-back weeks here. I think it's time to sell on them, and particularly that defense after the last two efforts that they put up. So I would take Oakland.
Really? I'm going to shock you here. the Browns are my third recommended play of the week.
Really?
The Raiders are awful. They are awful. I mean, once again, you know, you laugh at me about the time zone thing. They were run out of the frickin' stadium last week. You know, you talk about how much they stink at 1 o'clock games. That game was over by 1:45 last week. Okay, 10:45 Oakland time. And now this isn't Oakland. It's a West Coast trip. You mentioned the Browns, you know, winning back-to-back games is not something that happens very often. Winning road games, they've got the longest road losing streak in the league at 12 games. I think that's got to snap sooner or later. And really, is there any better opportunity for them than to win at Oakland? Oakland is awful.
That would be a chance for it to go, oh, snap, on the Raiders this week. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland is just awful. I actually have the Browns, and, you know, the oddsmakers do, too, with a line of -1.5 at home. It'll be interesting to see when it's up across the board. I have the Browns rated above Oakland. The Browns have actually, you know, after starting the year last in my power rankings, have slowly but surely crept up. They're ahead of three teams now.
That's where I got them as well at this point in time. Cincinnati at San Diego. Talk about the time zone games here. Natty going to the West Coast for this one. Marv Albert, Rich Gannon with the call from San Diego here. This is one of these weird games we've seen through the course of the season from time to time where the favorite has changed. San Diego started laying a point. They're up to now getting 2.5 points. You're always telling me not to chase which way the public's going, and I understand that. But I was like a lot of people, I think, that thought early on that this was a chance for San Diego to turn it around after hitting rock bottom. The Bengals, it's unsustainable. They generally, you know, are overdue for a letdown kind of a game, but I don't think it comes here. I'm going to follow the money on this one, the public mouth breathers, and take the Bengals laying the 2.5 on the road.
For all the reasons you just said, I should take San Diego, but they get none of my money. And unfortunately, I'll have to wait till a different week, I think, to just absolutely bury them. Enough people have been doing it. But what they did on that 4th-and-29 was the most inexcusable thing I've ever seen in the history of professional football. And, yes, I went full-on hyperbole there. So this is a pass for me because I don't like Cincinnati. I told you I thought they'd have a good game with Oakland, but Oakland stinks. San Diego's got to – if they have any pride whatsoever, they'll win this game. But, you know, obviously, you know, teams that, you know, allow opposing teams to convert 4th-and-29s on their own field, you know, they obviously don't have very much pride.
Well, how's this for a segue? Two teams lacking in pride are playing Sunday night here. It's a rivalry game.
Baby.
3-8 Eagles at the 5-6 Cowboys, as the Michaels Collinsworth Tafoya Troika will be calling this one. Dallas is laying 10 up from 9.5. And I understand, I mean, it's low ebb for people in their regard for the Eagles. I just think 10 is too much. As god-awful as the Eagles have been under the circumstances, they've pretty much mailed in the season. I think they can cover the 10. I guess it's that I don't have enough regard for the Cowboys in this one. I think the Cowboys will win it, but I don't think they'll cover.
Love how you're not afraid to take an awful no-account team like the Eagles here. I wish I was that big of a man. God, are they bad. God, are they bad. And no Deshaun Jackson now either. I mean, this team is bad. But Dallas, you can – look, I've warned you a million times and warned the listeners, you'd never bet Dallas as a favorite of a touchdown or more ever. This will put that theory to the test. I'm sitting this one out. I'm more interested in the Boardwalk Empire season finale as well as, you know, as we wind down season two of Homeland. This will be a TV night at the Ross House, the freshly painted Ross House, they might add. Sunday Night Football may not make its way out of the TV.
Well, you won't be missing anything at all. As far as the big three of mine that we generally end with, as I said, as was the case last week, one of them's a Thursday game, so we already covered that my pick, you know, released on Twitter. It was Atlanta. Of the other two games, we start with the non-lock pick here. Houston laying 6.5. That is up from 5.5. They're at Tennessee. Again, Tennessee screwed me last week in the Jacksonville game, and I understand that they're trying to follow a schizophrenic team like the Titans one way or another, trying to catch up with that ping pong ball can be a little bit distracting, but old road favorite Ricky strikes again.
Houston,
although they didn't lose in the last 2 weeks, but they looked like crap relative to how they looked the rest of the season here. They looked very mortal against Jacksonville and Detroit. I am regarding that as their trough. They didn't lose those games, but I think they're now going to get that second wind from having come that close and knowing that they haven't had very good efforts the last 2 weeks there. I like Houston laying the 6.5 at Tennessee.
Believe it or not, I would almost be tempted to join you, but Houston's got a huge game on deck against New England, which is, by the way, a Monday night game. Hey, three cheers for my good buddies at ESPN there. I have to sit this one out because on sheer principle, you know, my natural lean to the home dog, but I'm with you. Houston's kind of due in line for another good, I mean, after, you know, phoning it in the last 2 weeks. And they do better when the national spotlight's not on. So they're going to win here. They killed Tennessee earlier, so. But I'm sticking this one out.
Okay. And then this brings us to the my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 13. I am 7-5 on the lock picks thus far this season. It's the 7-4 Giants at the 5-6 Redskins, Monday Night Football. Tirico, Gruden, Salters on the call for this one. Giants are laying 2.5. It's up from 1 earlier in the week. Kind of makes me a little bit queasy that the public money seems to be going the Giants' way. I seem to have played the Giants, between the Giants and the Falcons, I've played them a disproportionate number of times, I guess, this year. I've just and then the Giants, it always seems to be a prime time game where I'm making that one of my target picks. And here it is again. I have a good feel for this one. Just that, again, I think there's a little bit too much public gaga about this rivalry. Oh, the Redskins are nipping at the heels of the Giants. I don't think so. And anybody that was watching Sunday night, I think, would be hard-pressed to believe that as well. I think the Giants are starting to tune up the band a little bit here, get going for their stretch run. I expect another statement game Monday night. Giants to cover the 2.5 at the Redskins. I think Eli is going to be passing all day on that secondary.
I really want to take the Giants, too. I guess I can't do any more than a small lean, though. Washington's due to win some home games. And a quick check of the schedule, well, spoiler alert, I might be taking them against Baltimore next week at home.
Real interesting. The Battle of the Beltway, you might be on them there.
Yeah, but this one, I don't know. I mean, that first game was crazy. It's going to be high scoring. It should be a good game, but unlike the, you know, the other primetime NFC East game on Sunday. But yeah, I give a slight lean to the Giants. You know, it'd be kind of crazy to see them, you know, after they came off that bye, look so good against the Packers, just kind of piss it all away the following week. So yeah, small lean. You know, I certainly have more regard for them, obviously, like you do as well, than I do the Redskins, who, you know, yeah, RG3 is really good, but not a lot else there.
No, exactly. Kind of a Fugazi media storyline there about how the Redskins are nipping at their heels. Not this year, fella. So my big three are Giants, Houston, and Atlanta. Not coincidentally, three of the top teams in the league. The Giants being my lock pick. Your big three picks for the week, Chicago, Arizona, and Cleveland.
Cleveland.
By the way, I can't let this thing end without mentioning this. You've been self-flagellating all year on picking the Bills to make the playoffs. I just have to say this. As bad as they are right now at 4-7, their remaining games, Jacksonville this week at home, St. Louis at home, Seattle in Toronto, at Miami, and then the Jets. You can't rule out that they'll be 9-7. I don't think they're good enough, but you can't rule it out. So you could be right in the end.
I had them right now at 6-5, and they would have been in great position. The Tennessee game that they lost at home, and then, you know, the Colts, they could have. You know, the Colts didn't play great. The deciding score was a punt return by the great T.Y. Hilton. I'd like to add a great in front of his name. I've always been a big T.Y. Hilton fan, going back to some Tuesday night Sun Belt action. It's just a Chan Gailey stinks, and so does Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, what do you
think
today? I mean, they just stink. So I told you that all year that all they had to do was kind of play 500 ball going up to this point, and they'd be in great shape. They have arguably the easiest schedule from here on out. I mean, they're nothing but bad teams. I mean, Miami, well, Seattle's a good team, but that could be the one loss. But, I mean, they're not going to turn it on.
Great stuff again this week, Kyle. Thanks very much, my friend. We'll catch you all next week for NFL Week 14.
Look forward to it, Ricky.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.